Well, unfortunately, for better or for worse, it is still the COVID day, as that is the topic that continues to just not go away. And as long as, you know, as long as people are in the mood of getting the sniffles and then wanting to sit in line for 2 hours at Kauffman Stadium or anywhere else for that matter to wait to see if they have COVID, it's not going to go away. It is going to be the biggest topic of not just conversation for us here locally, but obviously also across the nation. So good to be with you. Happy Tuesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. There was a clip yesterday from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky that's gotten an enormous amount of attention. Now, unlike Rochelle Walensky, unlike the CDC, unlike the people who carry the CDC's water on CNN and MSNBC, I want to make sure that we are accurate in what we are saying and what we are sharing with you. There's a clip that has been making the rounds from something Rochelle Walensky said yesterday on ABC that people, conservative media, is using to make a point, but it is being taken wildly out of context. Here is that clip that Rochelle Walensky said yesterday that's making media rounds and is being used as admission to the majority of COVID cases involving comorbidities.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
So that was the CDC director yesterday on ABC. And people are taking that and saying, hey, whoa, comorbidities, four comorbidities are tied to COVID deaths. That's an unbelievably high number. Why are we even considering doing things like shutting down schools? And why are we still treating this the way we're treating this when those who have died have four or more comorbidities? Now, what Rochelle Walensky in that specific clip was referring to was those who have died who are vaccinated as well, having four or more comorbidities. That's different. But we do know that regardless of vaccination status, and I remember giving you these numbers over the summer, that of those who did die with COVID, the comorbidities were over two. Wasn't quite three. It was an average of like 2.3 comorbidities for those who had died from COVID-19. Regardless of vaccination status, pre-vaccine, all that kind of stuff, it was about 2 to 2.5 comorbidities that the average person had who died with COVID-19 or from COVID-19, I should say. So here's the full, and I'll play it for you in full, the full comment from Rochelle Walensky on ABC that got taken out of context a bit. Now, once again, I'm not sitting here. I don't like to defend the CDC. All right. But when even they get taken out of context, I do find it and believe it important to correct the record. But that should not change. And I'll get to this coming up. That should not change how we view and how we live with COVID in January of 2022. But here we go.
Those encouraging headlines that we're talking about this morning, this new study showing just how well vaccines are working to prevent severe illness. Given that, is it time to start rethinking how we're living with this virus, that it's potentially here to stay?
You know, really important study, if I may just summarize it, a study of 1.2 million people who were vaccinated between December and October and demonstrated that severe disease occurred in about 0.015% of the people who are received their primary series, and death in 0.003% of those people. The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
All right, so that was the full commentary from Rochelle Walensky talking about those who have died while vaccinated overwhelmingly have extensive comorbidities, four or more. But for the most part, that number of people who have died from COVID had about 2 to 2.5 comorbidities. Now, here's the interesting part of this. The CDC has come out and apologized for those comments from Walensky, the head of the CDC. why she is delivering and sharing facts, right? That's all she's doing. Here's the comment from the CDC. Dr. Walensky did not intend comments in a recent television appearance to be hurtful towards those with disabilities. She's deeply concerned and cares about the health and well-being of people with disabilities and those with medical conditions who have been impacted by COVID-19. The CDC director continues her commitment to protect all Americans in this next stage of the pandemic. Okay, that is not at all what is at debate here. All right? What is at debate is just sharing the facts with people. And I believe it pretty important to tell people that, first off, vaccinated or not, still, the odds of dying from COVID at this point are going to happen to older people with comorbidities. And then saying if you're vaccinated, the only people dying have had on average at least 4 comorbidities is sharing the facts. It's not offending fat old people. All right? Like, I'm not naive. I wish everyone in this listening audience, every single one of you, I wish that you were Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, all right? I wish that for your sake. You're not. We're not. I'm not. It's okay. But it's not offensive to say that the overwhelming majority of people who are going to have problems with COVID-19 are those who are older and fat, all right? That's just baseline. Before you get into any other comorbidities, that's the baseline of people who are far more likely to struggle with COVID. That's not offensive to fat people. That's not offensive to old people. That's just a reality. And it's an important reality as you see things like the Chicago Teachers Union try to shut down schools over the Omicron variant when there's no sciencing going on at all up there in that city. Oh, and by the way, did we miss this last week? CNN, of all places, headline, can weight loss help protect against COVID-19? I mean, I remember talking about this in the spring of 2020 on this show. Spring of 2020. Hey, let's make sure we're all in the best shape, the best health we can be in. That way, you know, our bodies are best suited to deal with COVID-19. And it would, no. Shut down the gym. Close it up. Hide in the basement, watch Netflix, order Grubhub, and the government will tell you when it's safe to come out. All of a sudden, here we are, year and a half, 2 years later. Headline from CNN, actually willing to point out that one study found 30% of COVID-19 hospitalizations were in people with obesity. Yeah, people with obesity are also 46% more at risk of getting COVID-19, according to a recent study. It found that they are more at risk of getting really sick, facing a 113% higher chance of being hospitalized, a 74% higher chance of needing to be treated in the ICU, and a 48% increased risk of death. This is from CNN last week. But if you said this at any point over the last year and a half to 2 years, it was you shut up and listen to the government. That's what it was. Well, now all of a sudden, all this stuff is coming out. What if people had this information? I mean, you know, people that just obsessed over CNN all day. What if they've had this information for going on 2 years? Think you're going to save some lives? Think you're going to improve the well-being of some folks? I'm just asking the question here. That's all I'm doing. I'm just asking the question. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710 as we kick off a Tuesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, plus, of course, your smartphones and smart speakers. So just want to make sure we're getting you the facts, all right, as we kick off a Tuesday morning. I know those aren't popular things to do these days, but we like to still do them for you. I think it's an important public service, part of the job. Coming up next, Kansas has new quarantine rules. Yes, new quarantine rules in Kansas. And it feels like it is spring of 2020 all over again. We'll explain what those are next on KCMO Talk Radio. So last night, I'm getting ready to watch this all-SEC national championship between Alabama and Georgia. And I didn't want to do it, but, you know, I do love college football. So wanted to turn on the game. And I turned on the game, guess it was about 7:15, right before kickoff. Watching it there with Claire and Katie and sitting there and soaking it all up. And I caught it right before the national anthem aired. And I watched the national anthem, and Katie and I looked at each other and said, that was the best national anthem we've heard in quite some time. It's like, I admit, I didn't know who it was. I mean, I watched it. I saw her. Then I looked her up, and a lady named Natalie Grant, who's a, what would you qualify her as, Mark? Contemporary Christian singer?
Yeah, I think so. She really shot up in the early 2000s. Okay. Like when I was in high school, I remember I grew up, you know, pastor's kid. So I grew up in that music scene.
Yeah.
She was really popular. I think she won a couple awards like Vocalist of the Year in the mid-2000s. So.
Okay. So she was a huge deal contemporary Christian music probably 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she has been nominated for 8 Grammys, by the way. So to Mark's point, she was also Gospel Music Association's Female Vocalist of the Year. 06, 07, 08, 09. So, I mean, that's
solid.
That's the window you're talking about there.
Nice stretch.
I mean, that's like Nick Saban-esque, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Back to back to back to back.
Uh-huh.
Female vocalist of the year. So, big deal, but I admit I wasn't familiar with her. I'm not as familiar with that music. I mean, she looked like a country music singer, but I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I would have recognized her. I didn't. So, I will play this national anthem for you because it was that good. I mean, this is one of the hardest songs to sing. Anyone that sings will tell you. And trust me, we don't do that here. After 10 beers, maybe you can get me to start hollering a tune or something like that. But outside of that, we're going to pass on the singing part. But anyone will tell you who's a singer that this is a very difficult song to sing. Not just because you're often standing there in front of a stadium and then you got, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on TV as well watching like she did last night. But just for whatever reason, it's a difficult song to sing. And by the way, it's always the bloopers that go viral, right? It's never going to make your career the national anthem, typically speaking, but it will end your career.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll destroy you. I mean, outside of you think of the great ones like Whitney Houston. I don't know. This one from Natalie Grant last night, this was as good as I've heard a national anthem done in a very long time. And we'll play part of it here on KCMO Talk Radio.
Be light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rang loud, the bombs bursted in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the
I mean, how darn good was that? Are you kidding me? That was unbelievable.
That was nice.
That was awesome. I mean, yeah, that's right. I give a big darn round of applause there, Mark.
I missed it, too, so I'm glad you pulled that.
That was awesome. I mean, I any chance to play the national anthem on the show, I'm going to use it. But when it's national anthem done that well on that kind of a stage last night, I mean, get her out to Arrowhead. She should be singing this weekend, Arrowhead, before the Steelers game, and then bring her back for the divisional round the week after. Although, I'll tell you what, the guy that did it, oh, what's his name? The old Army guy that did it a couple of years ago. He does it every once in a while.
Reginald.
Right? Reginald. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Hoo-hoo, he'll give you chills. Reginald. He's a stud himself. All right, so give Reginald a game. Assume they win. Give Natalie Grant a game. And get her out here to Arrowhead for the national anthem. That was unbelievable, listening to her last night. I mean, she nailed that. She absolutely nailed it. And I'll leave it on this. College football's got to get its head out of its butt and play this game on Saturday, all right? There's no reason this game should have been. There's no reason ever should be on a Monday freaking night. Get it on Saturday. That's when college football is played. Last Saturday, there was nothing going on. The NFL picked up a couple of games. Put it on Saturday after New Year's. That's what the league, that's what the sport's got to do. Coming up next, Joe Biden's in Atlanta today to talk about how you're suppressed to vote. Yes, voter suppression. Oh, my goodness. We'll get to it next. All right, we got to make an amendment here on the show before we get to Joe Biden telling you how your voting rights are being suppressed. We were talking about Natalie Grant's national anthem before the break, which was incredible last night before the college football national championship game. I thought she was outstanding. One of the best anthems I've heard in a very long time. And then I said, boy, best anthems. And I said that they should bring her out to Arrowhead, by the way, for the game this weekend. Best anthem since, what was that guy's name? We called him Reginald. Reginald Wilson. No. That's not his name. And we apologize. So, Mark, what's his name?
Gennarold Wilson.
Gennarold Wilson.
My bad. I said Reginald. Well, I was the one that put it out there. So
you got closer than I didn't know his name off the top of my head. All right. Gennarold Wilson, who's done a few Chiefs playoff games. The playoff game that he did, I was at the AFC Championship game in right before COVID. I guess that would have been the 2019 season that he did before the Titans AFC Championship game. I have never heard anything like that in person, never mind on TV. And since we butchered his name, we feel bad about it. So this is an excuse to play this guy's national anthem from almost 2 years ago now here at Arrowhead. It was the most incredible national anthem. And then we'll lead this into telling you how Joe Biden believes every American's getting screwed on voting rights. But in honor of Gennarold, here we go.
Oh,
Not even close. I mean, that's an all-timer right there, Mark.
And then the B-52 bombers fly over because we've got the Whiteman Air Force Base.
Yeah, yeah, that was an amazing moment being there for that. That was an amazing moment. Then they fall down double digits again, but come back and win it. Oh, man. All right, so let's take that Star-Spangled Banner, incredible national anthem, and lead that into telling you about what Joe Biden's going to be doing today. He's going to be in Atlanta giving a speech with Kamala Harris, by the way. Yeah, they're going to be the dynamic duo, going to be down there. And they're going to be telling the American people about how everyone is getting screwed and everyone's vote is being suppressed. That's it. They're going to speak about election integrity and the urgent need to pass legislation to protect the constitutional right to vote. Now, I know I'm a white guy, all right? I'm a white cisgender male. So, like, it's obviously easier for me to vote. I mean, just that's the name of the game as a white guy. Like, it's one of those inherent advantages that I have. I'm able to sign up to vote. I'm able to read the piece of paper that tells me where to vote. I'm able to show up in a car if I need to, although I could walk to where my voting location is. We did it 2 years ago. We walked to go vote without a car, believe it or not. I know, novel concept, but we did that. So I know I've got all these inherent advantages because of my skin color that allows me to vote easily. I'm saying all this very much tongue in cheek. But can you tell me, can you help me, can you explain to me when the United States of America on voting became North Korea, became China, became, because I'm not seeing it. I know, that's why I'm asking you, because I've got every built-in advantage, according to Joe Biden, all right? And Kamala Harris. So I'm not one who can really talk about voter suppression. I'm really not. I'm not the guy. But they're going to go down there today to Atlanta, and they're going to make the pitch about how Republicans are trying to suppress the will, suppress the vote. And by the way, they're already laying the foundation for when they get their clocks cleaned in 2022, is what they're doing. Well, voter suppression. People can't vote. No chance. Holding black minority votes. That's what they're doing. That's what the pitch is going to be. Now, here's the thing, though. This is what's really interesting about this as well. Big visit. The president's coming to your state. And Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor of that state, who still believes she's already presently the governor of Georgia. So I don't know if she's in her own mind running for re-election or what's going on here. But she's conveniently not going to be able to attend Joe Biden's voting rights speech today in Georgia due to what her aides are calling a conflict. How toxic does old Joe Boy have to be he can't even get Stacey Abrams to show up to a speech in her own state? I mean, that is so telling. She's too busy. She doesn't work. What does Stacey Abrams do? Somebody tell me what Stacey Abrams does for a living. She got some 9-to-5. She can't. Joe, I got a back-to-back meetings today. I just can't make it. What does she do? What does she do? And she can't be there? I mean, that tells you all you need to know about where Joe Biden is at. From not just a popularity standpoint with Georgians and the American people, but also it gives you some insight into how his own party views him as not being all that effective or powerful of an individual. They view him as a dead man walking. And I don't mean that literally. I mean that politically speaking. They know he's a one-term president. They know that he's not popular really with anybody for that matter. And he's going to your state, and the most prominent Democrat in that state is too busy to show up to the speech. And by the way, it's a speech on an issue that Stacey Abrams supposedly cares deeply about because she believes voter suppression is the only reason she's not the governor of Georgia. It's funny how when she pushes and those of her ilk push, you know, election fraud or inaccurate election outcomes, they don't get the same treatment as other folks, huh? It's funny how that works. This is one big nothing that's going to be happening today. And it's really desperate is what it is as well. It's so desperate. And it's so transparently desperate, by the way, to see this, to watch this play out in real time. And I think this is what they're doing to try to drum up the base ahead of 2022. But here's the problem. It doesn't grow the tent. I mean, we told you earlier in the hour, what are the things that people are caring about right now per a recent Associated Press poll? Economy, inflation, healthcare, those are the things. And what's Joe going down to Atlanta to do? Tell you how, especially, by the way, if you're a person of color. I mean, you're just getting screwed. Republicans are trying to make sure you don't vote. I think normal people, regardless of what your skin color is, regardless of what you do for a living, they're looking around and they're saying, I mean, you know, if I want to vote, it's like pretty easy concept. I mean, you know, I register to vote and then they tell me where to go vote and, you know, then I go vote. Like that's not something that when you think about issues of independent voters and swing voters, voting rights is not near the top of the list. There's no evidence to suggest that it is. But let's see how this goes for you. All right. Let's see how this goes for you. I'm very, very intrigued. I think it's going to be a debacle today. I really do. Because also what this is about is trying to blow up the filibuster so they can get their voting legislation across the finish line at the federal level. They want to federalize elections. That's it. That's the name of the game. And they want to pressure Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, two senators from West Virginia and Arizona, to basically get rid of the filibuster so that they can pass this federal voting rights bill, which they insist needs to be done. It's got to be done in order to preserve integrity of the elections. The text line is 816-576-7710. Pete, today would be a good day for Amanda Atkins to rip Sharice Davids for wanting to get rid of popular voter ID. But Amanda won't do it. Well, I don't know what she's going to do. But I would agree, and I think that's a good point on the text line. Use this locally against someone like Sharice Davids. Make this an issue. All right. Does Sharice Davids believe that getting rid of voter ID is popular in the 3rd District? I promise you it's not. Promise you it's not. Speaking of locally, top of the hour, we're going to be joined by somebody who is announcing their bid for Johnson County Commission's chairman. He'll join us. We've got time for your calls at 576-7710 right here on KCMO Talk Radio. Also, I think we're getting a call from Rhonda, who's got a new song for us. So I you know, we got back-to-back guests here. We got the announcement, top of the hour. We've got Ty Masterson, who's going to be joining us, Senate President in Kansas at 8:15. Then it's Tirade Tuesday. So some point here in the next hour, we are expecting a new song from Rhonda in St. Joe. So hang tight. It's all coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. On the text line, Pete, it sounds like you want to date voter ID. I mean, I don't know. If any law, I'd probably date voter ID. I think it's kind of important that, you know, you show who you are before you go vote. It's fascinating, too, to hear Kamala Harris and Joe Biden today as they go down to Atlanta to give this speech on voter ID or just, you know, how are, oh, boy, some of these red states are trying to make sure that you can't vote or something like that. I don't know where they get this stuff from, but it's fascinating for them to directly or indirectly argue against voter ID, like literally handing an ID to prove who you are to vote. But then at the same time saying, yeah, places like New York that have vaccine passports, that's strong stuff. You know, got to do that. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, how do you even square that? Use common sense for 7 seconds and say to yourself, all right, the same people who are telling you it's racist to require ID to vote are also suggesting that we have vaccine passports and vaccine IDs to go in to eat a slice of pizza at a restaurant. I'm really not all that bright.
Talk about a bombshell.
But even I can figure that out and say, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But they don't want you to connect those two things. They really don't want you to use common sense for more than a couple of seconds and realize, wait, you're telling me that it's racist if a state says, hey, I got to prove who I am before I vote. But then at the same time, tell me that it's imperative that in places like New York to slow the spread, where, by the way, comical phrase to use at this point, in a place like New York where they're seeing record levels of spread of COVID-19 from the Omicron variant, they need vaccine passports to slow the spread in restaurants or something like that. It is so bizarre. It is so bizarre.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
On so many levels, 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. Let's go to the phones, and Joe is in Leavenworth. You're up first here, Joe. Good morning. Go ahead there, pal.
Good morning. This is capitulation at its finest amongst the Democrats. They're already doing damage control moving into the primaries in a few months. Right now, like you said, you took the words out of my mouth, proof of vaccine to do anything in New York. And then they're going to try to pass, or they did pass legislation to allow non-citizens to vote in New York City elections.
Yep.
This is coming on the unprecedented popular vote turnout for the Republican candidate,
yeah,
and 20% more for the Democrat candidate. And they're saying that our election system was perfect and there was no issues at all. Now, I accept the results of the last election. I think given the pandemic, I think given the nature of Trump's rhetoric, I can kind of see how there's a path to lose for somebody that that polarizing. But the results were eventually accepted, and here we are moving into the primaries. And instead of focusing on what needs to be focused right now, which is treating people with treatments for getting COVID-19, yeah, they are on damage control in, yeah, a state where, like you said, the Democrat state representative or senator is not even going to be showing up to it.
Yeah.
This is why even moderate liberals are upset with Biden.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no, you're right, Joe. You're absolutely right. Here's the interesting thing too, and it's a good call. I was thinking about this as I was watching, you know, people stand in line for COVID tests around the country because, you know, Joe's promise didn't come through. Testing easily available for everyone at any given moment in time. I'm watching people stand in line, you know, for hours to find out if their sniffles are COVID. And I'm thinking to myself, these are the same people that said, you know, can't get in line to go vote. Got to have drop boxes. Got to have mail-in up the wazoo. Same people are standing in line for hours because they got the sniffles and want to know if they have COVID. I mean, come on. Please. Come on. All right. Neil in Blue Springs, I got 30 seconds for you, big fella. Fire it up there.
Yeah, talking about the vaccine mandates and following the science, you know, we have to follow the science, but the same people that tell you you have to follow the science for the vaccines are also the same people that tell me if I have an X and Y chromosome, it doesn't matter, it's just how I feel.
Nice job there, Neil. And it's so true. The follow the science crowd thinks that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man based on how they feel in any given moment on any given day. I mean, that's, we are living in bizarro world, my friends, we are. A guy who's not bizarre at all, very sharp, is going to announce coming up next on KCMO his bid to be the next Johnson County Commission chairman. Very important race, all right, based on all the overreach happening at the local level. He'll join us right after the news on KCMO. Oh, it's one of my favorite times of the week. It's Tuesday morning, and it is time for Yes, Tirade Tuesday.
It's time for Tirade Tuesday.
All we have to do is be free, be Americans.
Let's go, Brandon. I yield back.
On KCMO Talk Radio.
I yield back. This, and I know that I can tirade whenever I want on this show. It is my show, but I may have to mix in my own Tirade Tuesday if we have time before the end of the segment, because I also heard that Rhonda in St. Joe has a new song for us at the end of the hour. So hang tight. We got a busy 30 minutes ahead, but let's dive into a Tirade Tuesday. Start off with April, who's in Lee's Summit. Good morning, April. Go ahead.
Good morning. So my quick Tirade Tuesday is, I have two. One is about the mask mandates that have been put back into schools. Instead of actually looking at science and following data, we are masking kids again, and my district just voted last night to go back to masks, so I'm pretty pissed off this morning about that. And then, two, Jackson County is trying to push through some pretty tight and kind of secret, hey, let's take everybody's health into our own hands, and instead of letting you be in charge of your health and decide, like, oh, you're sick, you need to stay home, we are going to know everything about you. We're going to get all of your health data and information. And then if you're sick, it doesn't matter which communicable disease you have, we're going to go ahead and take you out of your household to a quarantine camp.
Yes.
And I know that sounds extreme, but there is a lot in that that I think people are just like, oh, it's not going to get passed. There's no way that could pass. But there's a lot of really scary stuff in there, and people need to step up and wake up.
April, I love it. Great job. Way to kick it off. You're absolutely right. And that's I love that from April. A twofer, by the way. We let her go two for one. Have a great day there, April. Thanks so much.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
All right. So that thing that she's talking about, the piece of legislation out of Jackson County, we've talked about it yesterday and today. If you want to read the piece of legislation, it's up on my Twitter feed at Pete Mundo. It's also on my Facebook page, Pete Mundo on KCMO Talk Radio. April's absolutely right. Absolutely right. 5767710. An open line for Tirade Tuesday. Let's go to Mike, who is in Overland. Oh, excuse me. That is Arden in Olathe. What's up, Arden? Good morning.
Hey, Pete. Thank you very much for having me on. I'm tirading against the news media and actually partly this station as well for not reporting what's actually going on with people who have been vaccinated and so on. And last week, One America, which is an insurance company out of Indiana, CEO reported that non-COVID mortality is up by 40%. Their payouts for life insurance up 40%. Indiana also reported 1,079 deaths of fully vaccinated people. Further, a Danish study.
I mean, people still die, right? I mean, people still die.
No question about it. But all of this nonsense about how safe and how effective the vaccines are, you're not reporting what's going on. In fact, a Danish study that just came out last week, week before, December 27th, British Medical Journal. It's a Danish study on unvaccinated, vaccinated, and then boosted. What they found out was is the people who were fully vaccinated were twice as likely to get COVID. People who were boosted were three times as likely to get COVID. And last week, a nurse manager in Louisiana testified in front of the Louisiana Health Committee stating that more children are dying in the hospital with the vaccine than those children of COVID itself.
Yeah, but here's what you're doing, though, Mike. You're acting like people don't die. All right? You're doing what the left does a little bit there. All right? You're acting like people just don't die.
I told you the overall mortality is up 40%. So don't confuse that with what you're talking about there. You need all to right. read Robert Kennedy's book as well, The Real Dr. Fauci. The data is out there and it continues to come in.
Mm-hmm.
We have means of treating COVID. I treat COVID almost
We know all that, Arden. We know all that. All right, you got your tirade in, my man. We appreciate you. I got a lot of folks in the line I'm going to get to. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike. He's in Overland Park. Go ahead, Mike. Good morning.
Happy New Year, Pete. I share the previous two tirades, but I have my own. Last week, 200 doctors signed a letter to the Johnson County Board of County Commissioners saying six-year-olds, we should continue to mask them. The CMOs of Kansas hospitals got together then to mimic that concern and point out the crisis. They say that we need the time that we left our lane and go public. Well, when there were hundreds of thousands of George Floyd protesters marching the streets during lockdown, they didn't go public.
Mm-hmm.
When our southern border is being invaded, they didn't go public. When the vaccines were being questioned prior to the election, they didn't go public and say, hey, this might lead to vaccine hesitancy. When their colleagues were offering treatment protocols, they were silenced and these doctors said nothing.
Mm-hmm. All great points there, Mike. All excellent points. Excellent points.
And now they want to say we're leaving our lands. No, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at Mike.
That's my tirade, and a little bit more.
Hey, Mike. Well said. You did a quick to the point. Very nice job, and you're spot on as well. Spot on as well. All right. Yeah. I mean, where were the people? That's the moment that we all knew the hypocrisy was real. Was last summer when we were told you can't go to a restaurant, you can't have your small business open, you can't go to a gym, but if you want to protest social justice in the name of George Floyd, COVID will not infect you because COVID is so woke. It won't come within 6 feet of you. All right. It won't do it. That's when all credibility started getting shot. I mean, That's when it was really at its, starting to hit its apex, which it's been at for about a year and a half. No doubt about it. 5767710 Tirade Tuesday. Where do we want to go next? Let's go to Boy, got a lot of different topics here, Mark. A lot of different topics. We got one open line. We'll go to Steve in KCK. Go ahead, Steve.
People in Wyandotte County, specifically District 37, we now have somebody just throw their name in the hat against Erin Coleman. Her name's Faith Rivera. Her name should be Faith Rivera Ocasio-Cortez. She's more radical than Erin Coleman. She's a worse choice for Wyandotte County. We don't need socialism in Wyandotte County. I'm the truck driver who's thinking about throwing his name in the hat. But, man, we cannot have more socialism in Wyandotte County. Democrat Party does nothing for the working class.
All right, so Erin Coleman's the wacko creep, District 37 Democrat in Wyandotte County. He's probably done here in the near future. They'll hopefully blow him out up there in Topeka. And you're saying that right now the other person in the race is a AOC clone in Wyandotte County for District 37.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Good info there, Steve. And if you're jumping in or if someone you know is jumping in, let us know as well because that matters.
Hey, Pete, I'm going to send you an email, man. I'm going to take you up on your offer if you can put me in connection with somebody because even if I lose, I can always go back to being a truck driver, but I'm going to at least put up a fight. I'm not going to stand by. Power to the parents.
Yep.
And
please,
you know,
please send me an email if you haven't already. All right, Steve?
Thanks, Pete.
Thank
all
you.
Right,
appreciate
I will.
It. Have a great
all
day.
Right.
Well, speaking of truck drivers, I think Fred in Overland Park has a tirade Tuesday on 18-wheelers. Go, Fred.
No, actually, this is all drivers, but the bully 18-wheelers are the worst.
Why?
So, basically, I'm a delivery driver. I am the Tom Brady of delivery drivers. Now, again, everybody does this. You're on a highway. You've got a granny 18-wheeler doing 63 and a 70. You've got either another 18-wheeler behind him or a car, SUV, whatever. So the car in the left lane or the vehicle in the left lane is doing the 70, and like a five-year-old little temper tantrum, they can't wait, no patience. They whip a left around the other granny vehicle right in front of a vehicle that's doing 70, and they're still doing 63. So they're not even bright enough to back up a little from the slow vehicle, hit that 70 that the entire traffic of the highway's going. But again, the 18-wheelers do all that stuff because they're bullies, and it's like, I'm big, I can do whatever I want. But
all right.
The point is this. If you're going faster, someone pulls in for you like that, I think that's usually called a wreck.
Yep, it is. All right, and let's never forget, Fred called himself the Tom Brady of delivery drivers. There you go, Fred. Thanks for the call. The Tom Brady of delivery drivers. Mark, what do you think of that one from Fred? Yeah, that's right. Oh, gosh. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. Oh, goodness. All right, I'm going to go on my quick tirade to wrap up Tirade Tuesday. Jesse Waters, really? Jesse Waters gets picked for the 6 o'clock Central Time slot on Fox News before Tucker Carlson? Jesse Waters?
I can't take the guy seriously. He's fine on the five. He's got this constant, never-ending, and I'm all about, you know, having a good time and having a smirk on your face once in a while. The guy was born with a smirk on his face. Like, Jesse Waters does not know how to have a serious look on his face. And that's Fox News after a year of doing rotating hosts in that 6 o'clock Central slot. A year. They end up picking Jesse Waters. I mean, he's fine for what he is. Man on the street. He's fine on the five. He's kind of clever. He's good in that kind of a setting. Jesse Waters is not a guy who's carrying a primetime cable news show. My goodness, Fox, what are you doing? And if you were going to pick Jesse Waters, pick him a year ago. And you sat on this thing. You didn't make a decision for a year. And then you're like, yep, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go with Jesse Waters. You know, would have been better. Will Cain would have been better. Lawrence Jones would have been better. I mean, just give me somebody who doesn't have a constant bleep-eating grin on his face most of the time, who brings nothing to the table outside of a couple of clever jokes when he's in a five-person setting. Jesse Waters is not the kind of deep-thinking, pithy, clever person I want to watch on cable news anchor a show by himself. He's just not. I think Fox, I don't know what they were thinking. They weren't thinking much is the answer. So there's my, I'm wrapping up Tirade Tuesday on my own. All right? Listen, I'm an O'Reilly guy. Bill's my guy. You guys know that. I'm going to get Bill back on the show here in the next few days. But that's, I mean, Jesse Waters is no Bill O'Reilly. Not even close. Not even close. Coming up, I think we got a song from Rhonda in St. Joe. She's been making us wait. She's been teasing this one for 24 hours going on. Jeez. So we'll get to Rhonda, and we've got much more with you. I also got to explain the staffing shortages and something that's happening here locally and why they're happening. It's all coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. I don't know if she's got the hypes or the pipes of Zach Brown, but she's pretty darn good. She's our own Rhonda in St. Joe, who is due, long overdue. I mean, we're about 2 months since we've gotten a new song, a parody song from Rhonda. What's up there, Rhonda? Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Pete. How you doing?
I am doing well. Hey, we had a listener call in. Her name was Pat. And she had a nickname for you that she recommended that I'm a big fan of. I want to run it by you if that works.
Okay.
The Songbird of St. Joe.
Woo!
Yes! Woo! There you go.
I've been called a lot of things. That's probably one of the best ones.
All right.
I used to say, you can call me whatever you want. Just spell my name right on the check.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so you like the Songbird of St. Joe. You're at least open to that one. You think it's you're okay with it. You're accepting of it, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's a compliment, because I really ain't a singer.
All right.
I'm glad you put a little distance between me and the National Anthem gal, because she's pretty awesome.
She was, right? The National Anthem we played this morning from Natalie Grant last night at the college football playoff game. That was good. All right, so...
Yeah, I didn't want to follow her right up.
No, I understand. I understand that, Rhonda. That's why we trust me, we actually... I know it seems like we just whip this show together and make it up as we go, but it is actually planned out, believe it or not. All right?
You put some distance between us for a reason, huh?
I don't want to embarrass Natalie Grant, you know what I mean?
Hey, can I do my little rant here? I'm going to stick up. Oh, go ahead.
I got 3 minutes till the top of the hour. I don't want to overshadow your song, Rhonda, all right?
Okay.
I don't want to overshadow your song. So first off, you tell me what – because you can call in any time and you can rant about whatever you want. You know that. This is a special moment, though. So tell me what you got for us song-wise.
This is from the B-52's Love Shack, and it's called The Lunch Shack from the Songbird of St. Joe.
All right. And what you, The Lunch Shack instead of The Love Shack?
Yeah.
And what's the – can we just get a rough idea of the premise here, who you're going after, what you're going for?
This is for Ray's Cafe, for their being brave and standing up.
All right. For Ray's Cafe, which got shut down in Blue Springs, has now reopened at Independence this week. Good for them. All right. Let's get a little lunch shack going there. Let's do it, Rhonda.
If you see a new sign at the side of the road that says 10 more miles to the lunch shack, Ray's Cafe, I'm heading down I-70 highway. Looking for the lunch getaway. Looking for Ray's Cafe. I got me a car. It's as big as a whale. And we're heading on down to the lunch shack. It's not Ride KC, so we'll get there in 20. So hurry up and bring your membership money. Oh, the lunch shack is a free zone place where we can get together without a mask. Yeah, Ray's Cafe. Sign says, stay away, fools. 'Cause membership rules at the lunch shack. Everybody's moving, everybody's grooving, baby. Folks lining up outside just to sit down. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. Knock a little louder, Troy. Bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. I can't hear you. Bang, bang, bang on the door, sugar. Knock a little louder, Bridget. Bang, bang on the door, baby. Bang, bang on the door, sugar. Bang, bang. Say what?
Woo-hoo.
Crimes against humanity? Busted.
There we go. Woo! Let's go. Lunch shack, lunch shack, lunch shack. I love it, Rhonda. Way to go. That was fantastic. Shout out to Ray's Cafe. We love it, Rhonda. We love you.
Well, thank you, Ray's Cafe, for being brave.
Absolutely.
Doing the right thing.
Absolutely, Rhonda. Hey, that was well worth the wait. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
There you go. That's awesome. Let's get it right into the break there, Mark. Woo! I love it. Oh, gosh.
At the Love Shack.
We're set way back in the middle of a field. Just a funky old shack. And I gotta get back. Glitter on the mattress. Glitter on the highway. Glitter on the front porch. Glitter on the highway.
Well, someone tell the Kansas Jayhawks, by the way, yeah, the football team, to hang a banner, baby. Hang a banner. What do I mean? Well, the college football playoff championship game last night was between Alabama and Georgia. Georgia won the national championship. So I always like playing this game, right? Where you can say Team A beat Team C, or Team A beat Team B, Team B beat Team C, Team C beat Team D. Therefore, Team A is better than Team D. I like playing that game. Do you like playing that game once in a while, Mark? It's funny, right?
Oh, yeah. I like to see how Nebraska can win the national championship.
Well, here's how Kansas wins the national championship, all right? So, which is just as good a chance as Nebraska at this point.
Yeah.
So Kansas beat Texas this year. Texas beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech beat Mississippi State in the bowl game. Mississippi State beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M beat Alabama. Alabama beat Georgia. And then Georgia, of course, won the national championship. So by that definition, the Kansas Jayhawks football team are your indirect college football national champions. How about that? How's that sound?
Very nice.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk, baby.
First year for Lance Leipold, right?
Yeah.
Got him to the national championship.
he's won a national title in my book. All right. Good for him. Good to be with you just after 9 o'clock. Happy Tuesday morning. It's been a busy morning. Here on KCMO, we had Ken Selzer, former Kansas Insurance Commissioner, announced that he's running for Johnson County Chairman. Very important race. Very, very important race. And also Ty Masterson, Kansas Senate President, was on the show last hour talking about plans around the food sales tax, congressional maps. Those conversations will be up after the show on our podcast page, wherever you get your podcasts. So not sure if you saw this report here locally, but it's true around the country that child care centers are having staffing shortages and staffing issues. Right now in the Kansas City Metro, nearly 30% of child care centers have been forced to close during the pandemic. Now, before we go any further in this story, why might that be? Well, it probably has to do with that, especially for the first 12 months after COVID hit. Most people were working from home, right? And maybe they had to take pay cuts. Maybe they weren't sure on what their future was going to be with their job. So they may have kept their kids at home instead of doing childcare. Maybe, you know, they were watching too much CNN and thought that, you know, every kid was going to potentially die if he or she got COVID. So they figured, well, I'm going to keep the kid at home. Like, that seems to me to be the obvious place to start in terms of why childcare centers around the Kansas City Metro have been forced to close during the pandemic. All right, that's part one. But now, as demand is going back up, and we know demand is starting to increase, people are going back to the office, going back to work. You know, they're realizing that children are not and never were really at the risk of obviously older adults. So, you know, people are kind of getting back to normal. And now you've got a shortage. And on top of that, you have a ton of people getting the Omicron variant, vaccinated or unvaccinated. Doesn't really matter. They're all getting Omicron. So, you know, you got to then go home. If you're sick, got to stay home, all that good stuff. So now you've got shortages. Well, I want to make sure that I reset, because one of the most important comments that was made by a guest on this show this year came last Friday from Dave Ramsey. Anytime you're hearing about staffing shortages, no matter what the industry is, doesn't matter what the industry is, I want to make sure that you listen to this clip, because Dave explained on this show, of course, Dave's on from 1 to 3 every afternoon here on KCMO. Dave explained on this show perfectly why the staffing shortages across all industries are continuing, and it's not getting nearly the attention that it should be getting. No one's talking about this, because I admit, I thought come September, extra unemployment ended, things would get back to normal. They have not gotten back to normal. And here was Dave Ramsey on the show last week talking about why that is, based on the small business people around America that he's been interacting and dealing with. You explained it very well. So share with this audience what's going on here, because I have not heard anybody else give this answer.
Well, at Ramsey, we didn't lay anyone off or furlough anyone, so I didn't have the experience, and I was like you. I was confused. But we just did a big entree leadership event down in Amelia Island with about 1,500 small business leaders from all over America. And in talking with them, particularly at the breaks, you know, during the event, I'm standing around talking and having a cup of coffee with these guys and gals. And what they're telling me is this. See, the people, maybe if you're out there and you don't understand, if an employer lays someone off, like me, I'm an employer, if I lay someone off, I have to pay the unemployment. If I offer them the job back, they have to take it back. And if they don't, they no longer get unemployment and I no longer have to pay it. That's the law. That's the regulation. Okay? So when unemployment, or when unemployment runs out, I no longer have to pay it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when it ran out, I no longer have to pay it, right? Mm-hmm. And or if I offer them the job back, I furloughed them because of COVID and I offer them the job back and they come back, I no longer have to pay it. Well, here's what's happening. The folks, for some reason, are deciding, I don't want to come back to work. And so I offer them the job back in my hypothetical process here. Again, I didn't furlough anyone, so I didn't have this. But if I offer them the job back and they don't take it, the unemployment office is supposed to stop their receiving unemployment and stop me having to pay it. And what we're hearing in the field is, with the small business owners at this conference were telling me, was the unemployment office is saying, no, Biden has given us a directive that says you have to keep paying even though you've offered them the job back and they refuse to take it. And so de facto, he changed the law with another executive order or directive or whatever out of the White House to where the unemployment law is shifted. So these people are continuing to get paid unemployment. That's why they're not coming back to work. And it's illegal as crud. It's against the regulations. And it's under the radar. And there's nobody allowed to bitch about it except small businesses, which have no voice at all.
That was mind-blowing to me from Dave Ramsey on this show on Friday. And that whole interview is also up on our podcast page. So, I mean, have you heard that anywhere else? And maybe you're a small business owner and you're experiencing that firsthand. But through a Brandon executive order, we've got a situation where small business can say, hey, or big business for that matter,
Hey, Joey, time to get back to work here, pal. We're two years into this. I know you were afraid back in April of 2020, but I need you back to work. Things are back to normal. You got your vaccine. You feel better about yourself. Let's go. And Johnny's like, nope, the Kansas City Star said I can't come out from under my bed. Nope, can't do it. And then you're like, okay, I'm cutting you off. Well, you can't do that. Brandon said you can't do that. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we are living through right now. People are saying, I'm not going back to work, and Brandon is demanding that businesses continue to pay their unemployment. And on top of that, so you are getting screwed two times over. One, you got to keep playing unemployment to people or kicking into the unemployment system, even if you're trying to get people back to work. And then to get new people to replace those people, the wages are getting pushed up because there's limited supply in the labor force right now. I mean, the whole thing is so jacked up. So whether it's childcare in the Kansas City Metro, with which KCTV5 did a big piece on, or anything else for that matter, any other industry for that matter, don't let anybody convince you that we're one Build Back Better or stimulus package away from fixing this problem. Yes, this is why we got to spend more government money to fix these issues and fix these problems. And by golly, we better do it. And we better do it now. Because without this critical bill, the kids are not going to have childcare or something like that. It's all BS. It's all BS. I don't know if you saw this too. I was reading this yesterday from Brad Palumbo, basedpolitics.com. So the Democrats, remember they passed the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan last March? They promised it would create millions of jobs. So here we are about 9 months later, and we have fewer jobs than if we didn't pass the stimulus legislation at all. Yeah. At least that's the conclusion from the American Enterprise Institute. Senior fellow Matt Weidinger ran the numbers and checked in to see how the administration's promises have aged. The White House projected that with their massive spending legislation, the economy would add 10.25 million jobs in 2021. Well, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office projected that without the plan, the economy would create 6.25 million jobs, a number that Biden called dismal. Well, per the American Enterprise Institute, the economy created 6.1 million jobs in 2021. Less than what was projected without the stimulus spending. All right? Less than what was projected without the stimulus spending. I mean, that tells you all you need to know. Put that in your pipe and smoke it there, old Joe boy.
Come on, man.
Coming up next, we've got our caller of the day at the bottom of the hour. But people are fleeing. They are fleeing high-tax blue states for low-tax red states. The data is out, and none of it will surprise you. But I have one big beef with all of it. We'll get to that next, right here on KCMO Talk Radio. So a lot of you asking on the text line, whatever happened with the Johnson or the Jackson County overreach ordinance that was proposed by a couple of legislators. It's not going anywhere. It hasn't moved right now anywhere. So I'm not saying don't worry about it. I mean, stay focused. Reach out to your Jackson County legislator if you've not yet about the overreach that's been proposed by a couple of legislators about or regarding the health department. But just know, I mean, nothing passed. The people that I trust at that level in the Jackson County Legislature are telling me it's DOA, dead on arrival, it's not going anywhere. But in this crazy, crazy world we're living in, never discount any of it, all right? Never discount any of it and stay on guard, and we'll do the same here on KCMO. But nothing came out of it yesterday. Thank goodness nothing came out of it yesterday, all right? So this has been the case for a long time. How many of you, maybe you're new to the Kansas City area, but you're familiar with the coasts, right? Like I've kind of been all over the place, but be starting year five here in a couple of months. Can't believe that. Boy, that's been a fast 4 years. enjoyed every second of it here on KCMO. But yeah, starting year five this April, first day of April, we'll be starting year five of this show. So before that, I was in New York City working at Fox News Radio, doing a lot of fill-in work there, doing sports radio at WFAN and CBS and some other places. Prior to that, I was in Oklahoma in a town called Woodward at K101 Radio up in the Panhandle. So, or near the Panhandle, not technically in the Panhandle for those of you that know the area. So I knew, you know, I was calling high school football, Friday Night Lights, Friday Night Hoops, all over, and doing some politics. Northwest Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, got into Southwest Kansas, did some games down there. I'm trying to think of some of my favorite places in Southwest Kansas to go.
Winfield?
Didn't do Winfield. Let me see here. Ashland, Kansas. You ever get down there, Mark? Ashland?
I haven't been there.
Haven't been there, huh? Where's Winfield? Yeah, that's a little more south central.
Okay.
I was west of 35. Winfield is east of 35.
Okay.
So I know that southwest quadrant, kind of south of Highway 50, west of I-35. Protection, Coldwater. I called some games in Meade, Kansas. They got a good football team down there in Meade.
Yeah, I know Meade, Kansas.
They got a nasty team down there. Coach Mosier in Meade, Kansas. I don't know if he's still rocking it, but we're going back 10 years now. Greensburg, Kansas, Dodge City. I know that part of the world pretty well. Great people. Awesome people. Best people. No, I don't want to say best. Kansas Cityans are great, but they're pretty damn good. Pretty damn good in that part of the world. I love them. So anyway, I mean, I've been in deep red America. I've been in deep blue America. And now I'm here in Kansas City for going on, you know, 4 years, soon to be starting year five. Really good blend, I believe, here. Wish it was a little redder, but, you know, we're working on it. All right? We're working on it. We're getting there. We're changing hearts and minds one day, 1 hour, one segment at a time here on KCMO Talk Radio. Doing God's work. I say that tongue-in-cheek. Relax. But one thing that you know, if you're like me and you've lived on either of the coasts, California, New York, people are leaving those places, right? They're fleeing. They're bailing. And there's more and more evidence mounting that people are voting with their feet and they're leaving overtaxed blue states for lower taxed red states. Here's the most recent report from CNBC.
Well, we've heard the anecdotes. Now we have the actual numbers. More than 600,000 people leaving New York and California for lower tax states during the pandemic. That's according to census data. California lost 300,000 residents between April of 2020 and July of 2021. New York lost a net 365,000 people, about 2% of its total population. Now, the biggest winners, not surprisingly, were Texas and Florida, which have, of course, no income taxes. Texas gaining 382,000, Florida adding 243,000. Now, people move for many reasons, lower housing prices, lower cost of living with remote work, their families may be there, but there is a continued shift from high tax to low tax states.
Listen, CNBC can sugarcoat this all they want. The reality is people are leaving, and that study shows that the top three states that lost residents during the pandemic are all led by Democrat governors. And the top three states in the study that gained the most residents are all led by Republican governors. Don't tell me everyone's got an Uncle Billy or an Uncle Tommy or an Aunt Sally that they just conveniently suddenly want to live next to in Florida, Texas, or fill in the blank. All right? Don't spare me that. So you're having a lot of that happen on the East Coast where people are bailing on New York and they're going to the Carolinas, Florida. You have it happening on the West Coast. People are leaving California, going to Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, to a lesser degree, Idaho, Montana. That's what they're doing. And I'm open to these people coming on and seeing how the other side lives. But do me a favor. Do all of us a favor that are trying to preserve red America. Don't come here and screw it up. All right, there's less of that happening in the Kansas City area, but I see a lot of interesting license plates driving around town. I feel like I'm seeing California license plates, I'm seeing New York, I'm seeing Illinois. It's like, you know, come on in, have a good time. We got a lot going for us here.
Wish we had, you know, a little better tax situation on the Kansas side. Hopefully our friends in Topeka are going to work on that. But, you know, it's a great place to live. Great place to raise a family. That's one thing that my wife and I firmly believe. And we genuinely do love it here and love it here for our kids. But don't come here and screw it up. Don't come in here and try to change what made it a great place to live, an easy place to live, a great place to raise a family. Just don't. That's the only ask. That's the only ask. Whether it's your school boards, your county commissions, your city councils, your U.S. congressional members, it all applies. Remember why you left. And the data shows people are leaving those blue states en masse, and there's a reason for that. There is. We'll get to you at 576-7710 if you've got a great story on that. And also our caller of the day coming up next.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.